What if you were full of pain, cuts, bruises, beaten, and yet what you were feeling was so much more real, so much more powerful, this overcoming joy and victory? Now you've got it.
When life is at its darkest, Pastor Ray Bentley says the Apostle Paul encourages us to set our minds on things above.
Paul is saying to us, hey, pray for inner strength.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Today, Pastor Ray takes us to the words of Paul the Apostle. While locked in a damp, dark Roman prison cell, he prayed for you and me. He prayed that we would have the same perspective he had on trials and tribulations. And that's our objective today. Pastor Ray takes us to one of Paul's prison epistles.
Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 14 through 21, and this is one of Paul's prayers. You want to learn how to pray? Let me encourage you, let's say you're in your devotions reading through the book of Ephesians, and you come across Paul's prayer in chapter 3, which is verse 14 through 21. Rather than just reading it, pray it. Personalize it. Pray it for yourself. And so that's what we're going to talk about is, and that's the title of the message, What to Pray For. Paul says in this prayer, and I've tried to simplify it because it's so rich, and I'm going to try to explain and unfold as much as I can to you in this prayer. But I've boiled it down to three things. Paul says, pray for strength, pray for love, and pray to be filled with the fullness of God. Now, before we even get into this prayer of Paul, I think it's important to remind you, for those who maybe weren't here at the beginning of our study in Ephesians, where Paul is when he writes this letter and where this prayer came from. Paul is in prison. So this prayer is born out of circumstances that are rotten, horrible. And the reason I mention that and the reason I think that's important is that I believe there may be some of you who are saying, you know what, I'm in lousy circumstances myself. And in particular, circumstances where it's beyond your control. Maybe your boss has put you in a place you don't like. Another way of describing it is you feel trapped. You're in a situation, and whenever we're in a situation that we have no control over or we can't escape from, it builds up tremendous either anxiety, fear, frustration, fill in the blank. So for those of you that are maybe in that place now or have been in that place or, you know, being in the world as we know it, probably will be again, take that to heart as you listen to what Paul prays for. He says, beginning in verse 14, the first thing that he says is to pray for inner strength. Verse 14, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. The first thing on my list for you is I pray for inner strength. And I think it's in the prison prayers of Paul worth noting that for the most part, they deal with the spiritual condition of the inner man, not with the material needs of the body. Now, it's not wrong to pray for the needs of the body or to pray for our physical needs or to pray for material things. But it's more important to pray for what and who we are on the inside. I think it's, you know, Jesus said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. That's fine. And we pray about a lot of our outward circumstances, our job, how much money, if we have enough to pay our bills. And we're concerned with our health and a lot of things that affect us daily. And so we bring those to the Lord. That's all right. But here's where it's not all right. If that's all we pray for, is the things that are outside and on the outside of our world, here's what can happen to you. You can actually end up, as a believing child of God, get more and more frustrated the more you walk with the Lord, because your faith and your hope is always, you pray for a particular area, you pray through, God begins to deliver an answer in this particular area, and just as soon as one area smooths out a little bit, there's another area that pops up on the outside. So you focus your attention over here, and as soon as you begin to pray through and smooth that one, another one pops up over here. How many have ever felt like that? It's like that little game, you know, Noah's got, you bop this one, and the other one pops up, and you bop him, and another one comes up. So my point is, it's not wrong to pray for these things, but realize, I think that without consciously saying it, we get frustrated because we want everything to be smooth at least for a little while at one time. And what I think we discover is, it never is smooth all the way around outwardly in our circumstances. And so if I'm never going to have everything the way that I'd like it to be on the outside, then it behooves us to move on the inside, because that's the one area that no one can control but the Lord and you. And as a matter of fact, what Paul is saying to us is that even when your outward circumstances are the worst, miserable, he's in prison. Doesn't get much worse than that. He's being beat up, not for being a criminal or for crimes, but for preaching the gospel, for laying hands on people and healing them, for telling them that Jesus is the revelation of the love of God. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. Okay, accept it, don't accept it, agree with it, don't agree with it, but they went beyond that, persecuting this guy, throwing him in prison. Not fair. But Paul is saying to us, hey, pray for inner strength. Because when you are strengthened in the inner man, or on the inside spiritually, your inner woman, that you are now in a place where you can overcome your circumstances. That's why Paul and Silas, when he was, they were beaten up and they're in prison and they're down in this hole, and at midnight, they sang. How can you sing at midnight when you've been beat up like that? And really, not just singing, mouthing the words, because I'm supposed to be joyful, but what if you were pain, full of pain, cuts, bruises, beaten on the outside, and yet what you were feeling and experiencing on the inside was so much more real, so much more powerful, tangible love, this overcoming sensation of life and joy and victory. That, now you've got it. That's Christianity. That's what it's all about. So Paul says, pray for inner strength. I think too often our prayers focus only on the physical or material needs and ignore the deeper inner needs of the heart. And we need inner strength because we do have an enemy. Satan is a powerful enemy. And while it is true that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, it is equally true that Satan hates your guts and he has a horrible plan for your life. And I have found that I do not have the strength within myself alone to stand against him. I need God's strength in my inner man if I am to resist the enemy. So Paul says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, the position here of Paul in bowing his knees was not the typical position of prayer. Most of the time, the Jewish people, they would pray standing, even as they do now. If you see them at the Western Wall, they're standing next to the wall, and you know, the Orthodox Jews are kind of throwing themselves and praying, but they're standing. Very rarely do you see them on their knees. Why? Because to be on your knees was only at a time when you were extremely emotionally in need or upset. Because in the Hebrew world, the emotions come from your gut, and when you really need something, or when you're really desperate, it's not, you know, the fluttery light feelings up here, but really you feel it down in your gut. Your stomach's all tied up in knots. And so sometimes our posture can follow what we're feeling. And Paul is saying, I feel deeply about this. I feel passionately about this. I've been strengthened, and I am on my knees before the Father in heaven, and I am praying for you that you would be strengthened in the inner man. Oh, how I want you to be like me. And I think what Paul is saying between the lines is, I am experiencing more joy, more love, more peace, more freedom in jail, beat up, than some of my brothers and sisters who are free and walking around and yet all tied up on the inside. So I pray for you. I love you. I pray strength for you according to his riches. Now, it's a little phrase, and a subtle little change could be out of his riches. But Paul doesn't say out of his riches. He says according to his riches. There's a big difference. Let me illustrate. Now, let's just take me for a minute and pretend, and this will stretch your imagination, but pretend that Ray Bentley am Ray Bentley billionaire. Can you imagine that? Ray Bentley billionaire. Now, let's just say that I decided that I feel a little generous today, and so being Ray Bentley billionaire, which I think has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? And I say, okay, as we leave this morning, it's going to take a little time. I'd like you to be patient, but I'd like to shake each one of your hands, and I'd like to give you, out of my riches, $10 apiece. How many of you would wait in line for the $10? Okay, now, however, let's say that I, Ray Bentley billionaire, say to you, hey, you know what, I feel really generous today. I want to give to you, and by the way, when I do this, I won't even feel it. I want to give you, to you personally, individually, every single one of you, according to my riches, and therefore I'd like for you to be patient, stand in line. I've got $1,000,000 for every one of you, man, woman, and child. How many would stand in line for that? Oh, you guys, you kill me, you slay me. Well, that's what Paul is meaning when he says God wants to give to you not out of, but according to his glory. What do we need? I mean, I think it's a common human experience. We feel weak. We're on the defensive, and there are so many circumstances beyond our control. We do the best that we can. We can't control the weather. We can't always, doing the best we can, control our own health. And so no wonder we're full of anxieties and fears and worries. And so we feel that weakness. We need strength. And we need it on the inside. The outer man, the Bible says, is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. And it is this inner strength that makes you successful. Not the outward, but the inward strength. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Let's read this scripture out loud together. It's in your notes. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Now, I like that. It's amazing that we are being renewed day by day. Now, as we think about the focus on the outward and the inward, one of the things I thought about, how many of you have seen that show, Extreme Makeover? Have you seen that? Where they take a family that's very poor and then they, or they have tremendous needs, and the community comes together and all these people, and they build this house. And there's the one guy that I like the most is, I think his name is Ty. He's this tall, skinny guy, and his hair sticks up in the front, and he kind of looks like my son Daniel. But anyway, and I love it. He walks around with a bullhorn. We've only got 24 hours. The people, they're going to be here, you know. And so we've got to come on, people, and they're all rallying and doing however they do it. And then finally, at the very end, and he's always walking around with a megaphone. I think that's cool, walk around with a megaphone. And then he says, okay, move that bus, woo! And they move the bus, and the people, ah! You know, and they're falling down, and they're crying, and it's amazing. As they go through, every room is beyond anything they could ever dream or imagine. And I think that's great, and it makes you feel good, and I think it's a wonderful and a marvelous thing. And we were able to do that same Extreme Makeover down at St. Stephen's. Then there's another show called Extreme Makeover, only this is about, you know, fixing people with their eyes or hair or their teeth and all of that. And I think that's, okay in some ways, but sometimes I think it brings too much attention on the outward. I'm just saying, it just seems maybe sometimes they go a little bit too far. Let's just say that our culture while there can be good to the outward, we can become obsessed with it. It can go to a vast extreme that it doesn't need to go. So pray for inner strength. Let's at least say that Paul is right, that we need to focus on strengthening the inner man. Now, secondly, in verses 17 through 19, Paul says, pray for a lifestyle of love. Would you say that out loud with me? Pray for a lifestyle of love. Paul says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, I like how verse 17, at least in my version, I have the New King James, it starts with the word that, meaning that his first prayer, I pray that you will be strengthened in the inner man. You need to be strengthened by the might of God on the inside. Your spirit needs to be strengthened. So that, in other words, this is like a telescope promise or prayer that goes deeper, one building on the next. The reason that you need to be strengthened on the inside is for the goal, and the goal is that you would be rooted and grounded in love. That's what it means to be a Christian, is to be rooted and grounded in love. It's more than just agreeing intellectually to a certain, you know, these are our beliefs. It is a reality. It is a substance. It is an experience. And that is the love of God, that you would be rooted and grounded in the love of God. Now, it has been said that man is loving. That can be true. Or you can say that a man loves, or a man loves his wife, or a wife loves her husband. But here's what you cannot say. You cannot say man is love. And it was Martin Luther King who said, only God and love can be joined by the word is. And that's what the Bible declares. God is love. Now, we have the privilege of being born into his family, becoming his children, adopting his very nature, having the seed of the word in our hearts, and then growing up in the love of Christ. But that's what it's all about. So he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. The word dwell there means to make a home. Jesus wants to be at home in your heart. It means, the word dwell means to settle down and feel at home. It's not just that when, you know, we say Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my knock and my voice and opens the door, I will come in. Okay, now I've accepted Christ into my life and I'm saved. But what does it mean to be saved? What it means is when Jesus comes in, he wants to make your life, your inner life, his home. Now, if Jesus makes his home in you, would you not agree that when you go to your home, what's in your home is yours, if it's your home? Jesus wants you and your heart and your inner world to be his home. That means he wants access to all of your dreams, all of your desires, all of your thoughts, all of your feelings, and on the negative side, access to all of your fears, all of your concerns, all of your worries. He wants that all to be at his disposal and his home, because he wants to heal you of all the negative things and comfort you and take away your fears, and he wants to bless you with even more on the inside, with all the blessings that he has for you, but he wants to make his home in you. Now, there is a classic illustration of this in the Old Testament, the story of Abraham. Abraham's life gives a perfect illustration. God was on his way to bless Abraham with a son. And so Genesis tells us that the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, along with two angels, came to Abraham's house, which happened to be a tent. And then he entered into Abraham's home. And what happened? Then Sarah comes out and she fixes a meal. And they share a meal together in the home, a very humble home, of Abraham. That is the picture of what Jesus desires. He wants to be able to sit down, and you know, there is something very special and even more in Middle Eastern culture or those other parts of the world than the West where I'm from. Eating together is more than just the enjoyment of food. The reason that eating together is so special, and in fact, you have the seven feasts of the Lord. They're called holy days, and they are feasts, and they all revolve around eating. Why? Because God knew that it's a picture. Everything has meaning. Everything is like a window through which we can see spiritual truth. When we eat, it feeds us, it nourishes us, and as your body is eating the food that it needs and delighting in its smells and its tastes and its texture and all the rest, it has a sense of relaxing us. We let our walls down. We start laughing. We start telling stories. And maybe when your family gathers around the table, there are certain stories that they always tell. Do you remember the time when? And it's a time of just tremendous community and love. That's exactly what Jesus meant when he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and sup with him." I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to meet your needs so that you realize you have someone who loves you, cares for you. You have a shepherd who's going to protect you. He's going to lead you to green pastures. He's going to work everything out, every circumstance, be involved in every detail, bless you, take you to heaven, and even use the negative things in a fallen world to disciple you and to grow you up and to prepare you for an eternity of sharing as a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And so when you hear all of that and you begin to experience it, you relax and you begin to listen. And now all of a sudden you pay more close attention to what the Lord says to you around the table. And his words go deep in your heart and you begin to grow in that truth. And it becomes an exchange of just blessing the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and him making promises to us. And so the Word of God, feeding on the Word of God, that's what it means. It's like a meal, a spiritual meal, and where your mind and your thoughts and your heart become his home.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out the dynamic the Lord would like to see in place in all of our lives. Good insight today from the writings of Paul in the book of Ephesians here on Maranatha Radio. And listen, if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, What to Pray For. It's available on CD for just $7. Again, the title, What to Pray For. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Ephesians on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, your book, The Holy Land Key, is not only based on your years of biblical study, but it's based on some unique relationships you've enjoyed with people in the Middle East.
You know, that's very true. I had no idea, Dave. The Lord kind of spoke to me, and he just said, "Hey, you know, you tell the story, you teach the story of prophecy, son, I got some surprises for you. You're going to be stepping into the story." And when I took that adventure with the Lord, I found myself literally in the office of the current prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and sharing the things of the Lord with him. And it was a powerful, incredible opportunity and experience. And that's part of what I get to share the story about in the book, The Holy Land Key.
He's a thoughtful man that really is trying to do his best to lead that nation.
You know, he is. The whole world being focused on Israel, and right now focused on the prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. We're living at one of the most exciting hours in human history, and we get to share and tell some of those stories in the book, The Holy Land Key.
All right. Well, why not get a copy for yourself? It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 9217 or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.